Hey there, ready for a deep dive into some Texas legal history? You might be surprised to learn it still matters today.
Sounds interesting. What case are we looking at?
It's Oriental Hotel Covey Griffiths.
Yep.
From the late 1800s.
Okay. And what makes this case relevant even now?
Well, it set up a principle that still affects construction projects today, like how contractors get paid when things go wrong.
Oh, I see. And how lenders protect themselves when they're financing these big projects. So kind of a cautionary tale, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Let's set the scene. Picture it. Dallas in 1890.
Okay, I can do that.
The Oriental Hotel Company is building this grand hotel. Naturally, they needed a lot of cash.
So what did they do?
Decided to issue bonds, backed by a deed of trust on the property.
Ah, so basically a mortgage, right? Giving the lender a claim on the hotel if the company couldn't pay up.
That's it.
Smart move.
Except maybe not. Here's where our main player comes in. John Griffiths.
Okay, who was he?
The contractor. Signed on to build the hotel for a hefty $315,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money, even now.
Right, and he was pretty savvy, I'd say. The same day he signed that contract, February 28, 1890, he filed something called a lien contract.
Why was that so important? I've heard that term before, but I'm not totally clear on it.
This was his first step to protecting his right to get paid.
Ah, I see. A legal safeguard in case things went south. So what happened next?
Well, get this. The deed of trust for those bonds wasn't actually recorded until May 20th.
Wait, so a couple of months later?
Yep. And during that time, other contractors started working on the project too.
Oh, that sounds like a recipe for trouble.
It kind of was. Because then the question becomes, if the hotel company goes bust, who gets paid first? You'd think it'd be whoever filed first, right?
That's what I would have thought. A classic first come, first served situation.
Not quite. This is Texas, and the Texas Constitution says something different about how it protects the people who actually do the building.
Really? How so?
Article 16, Section 37 guarantees mechanics a lien on any properties they improve to make sure they get paid.
To clarify, by mechanics, you're referring to anyone who contributes labor or materials to a construction project, right?
Exactly. Contractors, some contractor suppliers, everyone. And Article 3179 of the revised statutes goes even further. It says all those mechanic liens are on equal footing.
Okay, but wouldn't that clash with property recording laws? Those usually prioritize whoever files their claim first, right?
Yeah, that's the tricky part. So how did the court handle that conflict?
Well, the Texas Supreme Court, in a decision written by Justice Brown, ended up siding with the mechanics. They developed what's known as the Inception Doctrine, which basically says Griffith's lien rights were born the moment he signed that contract.
So even though the deed of trust was recorded first, Griffith's contract date took precedence.
That's right, because the court decided the lien attached at the very start, the inception of the project, giving it priority over that later recorded deed of trust.
Wow, so what about the other contractors who came on board after the deed was recorded? Were they just out of luck?
Not entirely. The court said they still had valid liens, but their claims only applied to the new improvements they made.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So Griffith's liens essentially covered the whole project from the beginning, right?
Yeah, and think of the other contractors' liens as being limited to the specific areas they worked on.
Got it. And the lender's deed of trust was tied to the land itself. Okay, so let's say the hotel company went bankrupt. How would they divvy up the money from selling the property?
Well, the court set up a very specific system for that. It would be a little messy, but they had a plan. Since Griffiths had that super early lien, he'd get a share of all the proceeds from the sale first.
Makes sense. He was there first.
Right. Then the other contractors would get a portion of what was left, but only from the value of the building, not the land.
And the lender would get whatever scraps were left over.
Exactly.
Ouch, that seems a bit rough on the lender. Why would the court rule that way?
They were worried about what would happen if lenders always got priority. It could discourage construction altogether.
I can see that. If contractors weren't sure they'd get paid because the lender could just sweep in and take everything, why would they even bother?
That's the idea. The court was trying to find a way to encourage development, but at the same time, make sure those who do the actual work are protected.
That seems fair. It's about finding that balance. But I have one question. Where did this inception concept come from? Did Article 3179 actually use that word?
Well, no, not specifically.
So how did the court justify it?
They looked at the wording of the statute. Article 3179 says liens attach from the foundation to the final completion, right?
Right, I remember that.
So the court interpreted that as implying a continuous right from the very beginning of the project.
Ah, So it's like a legal thread connecting everything from the ground up.
Precisely.
But what about the lender's side of things? They argued they had no idea about these other Lindzens, right? Did that hold any weight with the court?
Not really, no. For a couple of key
What
reasons.
were they?
Firstly, the deed of trust actually mentioned the hotel was under construction. So that in itself kind of hinted at the possibility of future liens. They weren't completely in the dark, you know.
Sounds like they should have done their homework a little better, huh?
Yeah. And secondly, don't forget that constitutional protection for mechanics liens we talked about.
Right.
The court basically said that constitutional right overrides the typical property recording rules. So lenders are essentially on notice that these liens exist. It's a risk they take on when financing construction in Texas.
So this isn't just about some old hotel and a few contractors. It's about how Texas prioritizes the people who built.
Exactly. And that's an important takeaway for our listeners, no matter what size project they're working on. This case has had a big impact on how construction financing works today.
I can see that. So how would this ruling, which is over a century old, change how lenders approach things now? I mean, are they more cautious because of it?
Absolutely. It definitely makes things riskier for them. They have to be much more aware of the potential for these mechanics liens. It's forced them to consider a few different approaches when giving out loans for these projects.
What are some of those options?
Well, one option is funding the whole project up front before any work begins. That way, there's no risk of later liens popping up.
But that's got to be a huge financial gamble for a lender. Not everyone would be comfortable with that.
Definitely not. It's a high-risk, high-reward situation. Another option is requiring something called lien waivers at every stage of payment.
So the contractors basically give up their lien rights on the work they've done before they get paid.
That's it. That way, the lender's priority is more secure.
So it's like a pay-as-you-go system,
No.
but with that added layer of protection for the lender. Are there any other options?
Yeah, there's one more. The lender can just accept the risk and go in knowing their loan might be second in line to the building's value itself.
After those mechanics liens are taken care of, right? That seems like a bolder strategy.
It is, but it might be necessary for some of those really big, complex projects.
Wow, so we've got this case from over 100 years ago, still shaping how construction financing works today.
Absolutely. It's actually why you see so many lease and subordination agreements in Texas construction contracts
Oh
now.
yeah, those are pretty common. So those agreements basically say the lender's claim comes before any future mechanics liens.
Exactly. It gives everyone more certainty. And it all goes back to Oriental Hotel Covey Griffiths. This case is a great example of how important it is to pay attention to legal precedents, even those that seem like ancient history.
It's a reminder that the legal world is constantly evolving, but also deeply rooted in its past. Cases like this one can really shed light on how things work today.
Couldn't agree more. And we're back, still digging into Oriental Hotel Covey Griffiths and all its implications for construction law here in Texas.
You know, going through this case, it's hard not to see a kind of David and Goliath thing happening. Well, you've got these hardworking contractors, often smaller businesses, going up against these potentially huge, powerful lenders.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It does seem like the court's decision really leaned towards protecting those smaller players.
Like they wanted to make sure the people building things, the ones driving the state's growth, were treated fairly.
That's a good point. It's about finding a balance. You can't just favor one side over the other. Everyone has a part to play in these projects, right? Lenders, developers, contractors, the workers.
Right, everyone's got their role. So for someone listening who's thinking, okay, how does this actually help me? What are some practical takeaways they can use, like in negotiations or when they're drafting contracts?
Oh, absolutely. For contractors, it really highlights how important those contracts are. You need everything spelled out clearly, what work is being done, when you're getting paid, what happens if things go wrong.
So it's like a safety net, legally speaking, to make sure you get paid for your work.
Exactly. And you got to file those lien notices right away, no waiting around. For the lender, on the other hand, they might want to push for stronger lien waiver clauses in those contracts.
So the contractors would have to waive their lien rights more often.
Yeah, maybe tie it to certain milestones or payment stages. It helps manage the risk for the lender. They don't want to see those liens piling up and taking priority over their loan.
Right, makes sense. And the developer, what do they need to keep in mind?
For them, it's all about being organized. They need to make sure everyone understands how the liens work in each phase of the project. And the financing has to be structured in a way that minimizes the risks.
It's like they're the conductor of an orchestra, making sure everyone's playing in tune.
I like that. It's about collaboration. Everyone understands their part and works together to get it done right.
And that's where having a good lawyer comes in, someone who gets all this Oriental hotel stuff and how it applies to projects today.
Absolutely. They can help draft those contracts, negotiate the terms, and handle any lien priority issues if things get messy.
Okay, so let's try applying this to something a bit more modern. Imagine a big mixed-use development, with retail, apartments, office space, the whole shebang.
Multi-phase project, different contractors, different financing sources.
Exactly. How does this ruling affect the liens in that kind of situation? Seems like it could get complicated quickly.
Oh, for sure. That's where the court's distinction between liens on the land versus the improvements comes into play. Remember, in Oriental Hotel, the lender still had first dibs on the land itself, even though Griffiths had priority over the entire building.
So it all depends on when each contractor started and what part of the project their lien is attached to.
Exactly. Let's say phase one is the foundation and basic structure financed with an initial loan. Then phase two is building the apartments with a separate construction loan. And finally, phase three is the retail space, maybe funded by a mix of equity and debt. Each phase could have its own set of mechanics liens, all competing for who gets paid first.
It's like a layer cake of liens. You'd need a legal expert to sort it all out.
I love that analogy. And here's where it gets even trickier. What if one phase runs into trouble and a contractor files a lien? Does that mess up the priority of liens from the other phases? What about the lender's claim on the whole project? Does that get affected?
Wow, that's a lot to think about.
It is, but it shows why understanding Oriental Hotel and how it works with lien priority in Texas is so important. This isn't just an old case, it's still very much alive in the construction world today.
It just goes to show that those old legal battles can have ripple effects we still feel today. Sometimes history really does repeat itself.
It does, and we'll keep looking at those ripple effects right after this short break. Stay tuned for more on how Oriental Hotel Covey Griffiths is shaping construction law in Texas.
We're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into Oriental Hotel Covey Griffiths.
You know, as we've gone through all this, it's really struck me how much this case tells us about Texas and its priorities.
Yeah, how so?
Well, when it comes to construction and development, it seems like they really want to protect the little guy.
The people actually out there doing the work, building the things.
Exactly. It's like the court was saying, hey, we need to make sure these folks are treated fairly.
It's about finding that balance, right?
Right.
Not just siding with the lenders every time. Recognizing that everyone's got a role to play. The lenders, the developers, the contractors, the workers.
Their whole ecosystem. And that brings us to something really important for our listeners.
Okay, what's that?
No matter what size project you're working on, whether it's a small house renovation or a giant commercial complex, understanding this case can be a big advantage. Especially in negotiations and when you're putting together contracts.
So let's talk about that. Practically speaking, what are some things people can do knowing what we know now about this case?
Well, for contractors, it all comes back to those contracts. Gotta have them, and they need to be crystal clear. Spell out exactly what you're doing, when you get paid, what happens if there's a disagreement.
So it's like having that legal protection in place.
Yeah.
A safety net to make sure you get paid for the work you do.
Exactly. And don't forget those lien notices. File them right away. Don't wait around.
Now, from the lender's perspective, what can they do to protect themselves?
They might want to push for stronger lien waiver clauses in those contracts. Get those contractors to give up their lien rights more often.
Tie it to certain points in the project, maybe, or when payments are made.
Exactly. That way they're managing their risk. Those liens can pile up, and if they're not careful, they could end up losing out.
And what about the developers? What's their role in all this?
Organization is key for them. Make sure everyone understands how those lien rules work in each phase of the project. And the financing has to be structured in a way that minimizes their risks.
Sounds like a juggling act, keeping all those balls in the air.
It is, but if they do it right, it's like a well-oiled machine. Everyone working together, hitting their deadlines, getting the project done.
And that's where having a good lawyer can really make a difference. Someone who understands all the ins and outs of Oriental Hotel and how it applies to what's happening now.
Couldn't agree more. They can help draft those contracts, negotiate the terms, and if things go sideways, they can help sort out those lien priority issues. It can get really complicated really fast.
So as we wrap up, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this whole discussion?
Good question. I think it's that even these old cases from over 100 years ago, can still matter today. Understanding them can give you a real advantage, especially in the construction world.
It's like that saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Exactly. We can learn a lot from those who came before us, even in the legal world.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into Oriental Hotel Fee Griffiths. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed this journey into the fascinating world of mechanics liens. We've learned about how they work, how they're protected, and how one case from the 1890s is still shaping the construction industry today. Remember, this is just the beginning of your exploration. There's always more to learn, more to uncover. So stay curious, stay informed, and until next time, keep on diving deep into those legal waters.